Harry had a little man.
The fault. We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From Radio Beacon to Radio Beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Believe me.
Help is on the way.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey! It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show.
Turn up your mind.
There's a pattern here of treating sex offenders leniently for those who have gone after children. And I think we just have a basic question to ask. Are we going to get a judge here who's going to protect children or who's going to protect child predators? It's a simple question. It's one I think that every parent in America would like answered, but it's one that the White House doesn't want to answer. And so far, Judge Jackson doesn't want to answer it. Total radio silence from her. And if you look at her record, what you see is this is someone who has consistently let sex predators, child sex predators, off the hook.
Okay, so that is the standard ugliness that you expect from a Josh Hawley. Ted Cruz is doing it too now. He's reading her college notes, which we went over yesterday, which were notes that were in the section called critics of, right? It was a 1996 paper in law school where she was reviewing whether or not these sexual predator lists were constitutional or not, whether, you know, they would withstand scrutiny under our laws. And she had a section called critics, and this is what the critics were saying. And he's playing this game, okay? And I just want you to know that after all this ugliness, and I'm going to show it to you, okay? I'm going to show you how the GOP ended up showing you, showing me, showing anybody who would watch these confirmation hearings, which are historical. This would be the first black woman in the history of these United States of America. You're talking 234 years in the making, this day is. Being a question for a confirmation to the Supreme Court of the United States of America, okay? And so after all of this ugliness that just occurred and has been occurring over the past few days, practicing for their moment to show basically that she is qualified and worthy of sitting on the Supreme Court and that they are not worthy of the Senate seat that they hold. All right. I'm going to play you a rather long clip. This is five whole minutes, everybody. Five whole minutes of your day where Senator Dick Durbin asked her about Josh Hawley's comments and gave her a chance to explain what is going on with her and sentencing of people who are in receipt of child pornography, right? Okay, here.
It's the issue involving child pornography. I want to turn to that issue because it was raised multiple times, primarily by the senator from Missouri. And he was questioning your sentencing record in child pornography cases that do not involve the production of pornographic material. They're known as non-production cases. I wanted to put some context here. The senator from Missouri has, in his tweets, said of your position on this issue, Judge Jackson has a pattern of letting child porn offenders off the hook for their appalling crimes, both as a judge and a policymaker. She's been advocating it since law school. This goes beyond soft on crime, the senator said. I'm concerned this is a record that endangers our children. I thought about his charges as I watched you and your family listening carefully yesterday and what impact it might have had on you personally to know that your daughters, husband, parents, family, and friends were hearing the charges that your implementation of this law, sentencing, endangered children. Could you tell us what was going through your mind at that point?
Thank you, Senator. As a mother and a judge who has had to deal with these cases, I was thinking that nothing could be further from the truth. These are some of the most difficult cases that a judge has to deal with because we're talking about pictures of sex abuse of children We're talking about graphic descriptions that judges have to read and consider when they decide how to sentence in these cases. And there's a statute that tells judges what they're supposed to do. Congress has decided what it is that a judge has to do in this and any other case when they sentence. And that statute doesn't say, look only at the guidelines and stop. The statute doesn't say, impose the highest possible penalty for this sickening and egregious crime. The statute says, calculate the guidelines, but also look at various aspects of this offense and impose a sentence that is, quote, sufficient but not greater than necessary to promote the purposes of punishment. And in every case, when I am dealing with something like this, it is important to me to make sure that the children's perspective, the children's voices, are represented in my sentencings. And what that means is that for every defendant who comes before me and who suggests, as they often do, that they're just a looker, that these crimes don't really matter, they've collected these things on the internet and it's fine, I tell them about the victim statements that have come in to me as a judge. I tell them about the adults who were former child sex abuse victims who tell me that they will never have a normal adult relationship because of this abuse. I tell them about the ones who say, I went into prostitution, I fell into drugs because I was trying to suppress the hurt that was done to me as an infant. And the one that was the most telling to me that I describe at almost every one of these sentencings when I look in the eyes of a defendant who is weeping because I'm giving him a significant sentence. What I say to him is, do you know that there is someone who has written to me and who has told me that she has developed agoraphobia? She cannot leave her house because she thinks that everyone she meets will have seen her, will have seen her pictures on the internet. They're out there forever. At the most vulnerable time of her life, I tell that story to every child porn defendant as a part of my sentencings so that they understand what they have done.
Yeah, she doesn't deserve to be on the Supreme Court. No. I mean, this is absolutely disgraceful what they're doing to a brilliant legal mind who obviously has been a judge longer than most people that ever get on the Supreme Court. I mean, the trial court, the district court, the appeals court, all of her experience is more than what Amy Coney Barrett had. It's more than what most of the Supreme Court justices have. She obviously had to be better, right? And they are sitting there accusing her of having some sort of sympathies for certain egregious, grotesque crimes like pedophilia or child pornography cases. I mean, this is just so twisted and sick. Then, of course, Lindsey Graham, did you see? I don't know what you're watching. I don't know how much of this you've seen. Lindsey Graham had to go down the, I'm so pissed off at the Amy Coney Barrett questions. And so I'm going to ask you the ugliest questions I can think of. And those are, what religion are you? And how religious are you? And do you not understand that your religion is going to affect your decisions on the Supreme Court? I mean, this is what they said about Amy.
Clear for takeoff.
Randy Rhoads Air Force.
Air Force.
RandyRhoads.com.
So we all know democracy does not look the way it ought to look. And a lot of us know that the reason is because of money in politics. I want to show you a new podcast. It's called Democracy Decoded. It's a podcast by the Campaign Legal Center. And it looks at government and it discusses innovative ways that could lead to a stronger, more transparent, accountable, more inclusive democracy. The host is Simone Leeper, and she speaks with experts from across the political spectrum and takes a deep dive into the forces fueling our election. Not just in the nation's capital, but at all levels of government. Democracy Decoded will take you on a journey. It looks really into the nuts and bolts of the campaign finance system, and it looks at the effects of secret spending at both the federal and state level, explores where and how foreign governments are spending to attempt to influence American elections and our foreign policy. Listen, tune in, and learn more. Find it at democracydecoded.org or wherever you get your podcasts.